I think the job of being a teacher is so rewarding in so many ways.
The connection between you and the whole class, that's still unbeatable.
When my pupils are successful, it feels incredible.
I think the greatest thing for me is seeing the pupils that I teach love the subject as much as I do.
I don't think there's any other job where you get the same satisfaction.
That's why I chose to teach.
You could get £26,000 tax-free to train. Search, apply to teach. Selected subjects only, subject to eligibility.
Ladies and gentlemen. Podcasting since 2005. You are listening to Gamertag Radio. With your hosts, Godfrey, Pete Rock, Paris, Pasta.
I won this club. Come on.
Welcome to Gamertag Radio, episode 526. This is your host, Danny, aka Godfrey. You could head over to gamertagradio.com or play that it to listen to our past episodes and make sure to share it with your friends. But today we have a special guest for this week's episode. He's one of the co-founders of Podcast Movement, one of my favorite events for those that are into podcasts. You definitely should attend. Jared Easley. Jared, what's up?
When I used to introduce myself, Danny, I'd say Jared, like the subway guy, but I don't tell that joke no more.
How's everything, man? How's everything? We go way back a couple years, man. I know we met through the whole podcasting meetup group that we have here in South Florida. I'm the only gamer, actually, no, second.
Right? Yes, there is another gamer.
Shout out to John. He also has a video game podcast. Yeah, I want you to talk about a little bit about Podcast Movement. You know, I know. I want those video game podcasters to also attend and check it out, do a little research about it, because I think it's very important. You know, I went this past, was it July, right? I went there to the event and I had a great time. You know, I know I've been podcasting for so long, but I also learned little things that I didn't know about the whole podcasting stuff. And I got to meet a lot of podcasters from all over the world at the event. And this, let me tell you, the setup was amazing. Amazing too. So yeah, Jared, tell us a little bit about Podcast Movement.
Well, one thing I know about you, Danny, and I'm sure your listeners know this as well, is that you are big on events. Like, that's one of the ways that you really built Gamertag Radio, especially early on, is you were networking and
yes.
You were meeting people. And so E3 is a good example of an event that you would not miss as someone who's into games. For podcasting, we've created an event that I'm going to go out on a limb and call it the E3 of podcasting. Maybe that's a little unfair. Maybe that's a little embellishment. But the intent is the event for podcasters, just like gamers would want to go to something like an E3. And that's exactly what we've tried to put together. We've got year three coming up. It's in Chicago, Illinois, downtown at the Hyatt Regency. It's going to be an outstanding time. Now, it's July 6th through the 8th. And really, it's all types of podcasters. So it's not just gamers, like you mentioned. There's going to be some. We're hoping for more. But it's storytelling. It's people that are into every type of niche that you can imagine that are talking and sharing their stories, sharing their interests through podcasts. And we had names like Mark Maron from WTF, who's a famous comedian. We had Aisha Tyler, who does Girl on Guy podcast and is also on The Talk on CBS.
And
right?
She's a gamer too.
She's a gamer, right? She's been a guest on your show.
Yes.
And I mean, other amazing people like the show Serial is big in the news right now because it just came back for season two. Sarah Koenig was a keynote speaker at our event. So there's just so many opportunities for someone who, whether they're interested in the possibility of getting involved with a podcast or they already have one that just started or they've been doing it for several years. It's a place for podcasters to come together. It's a community event where they learn from each other. And it's, I wouldn't even say it's just that either. It's also just an amazing time to hang out with people who get it. And I'm sure the gamers that have gone to E3, they understand that. You're hanging out with other gamers. It's just that community that these are my people. And for people who are interested in podcasting, your people are at Podcast Movement.
Like, I know the first time you guys launched, it was you guys got support through Kickstarter, right? Based on the feedback I was getting from a lot of people from the first year, it was like more the business side. And then the second year, the one that I went to, it was about everything. They had stuff for like people that are into like the hobby, business, everything, you know. So this year, what's going to be different compared for this year, different compared to the previous years for Podcast Movement?
You know? Yeah, we always try to take feedback and find out, you know, what are people wanting? What did people, what were they least impressed about? And then apply that into a strategy for the following year. And to your point, year one was, could we even do this? You know, and then a lot of the connections that we had at that time were people who were heavily focused in the business side of podcasting. So there was a majority of those attendees were people who had shows focused on business. And we listened. We did a survey at the end of that Podcast Movement 2014, and we found out, hey, we want some other diversity here. We want, you know, there's a lot of different podcasts. You know, it's not just business, and we agreed. And so there was a tremendous effort made to bring in comedians, to bring in all of these other niches out there. And I thought we did a much better job with that with year two, and there's always room for improvement. So I would say there's going to be, you know, a lot more diversity in Chicago. You're going to see a lot of different niches and spaces in podcasting than someone who's attended the last 2 years. You're going to continue to see that. Mm-hmm. You're going to see a nice mix of someone who's just the hobbyist, who's just doing it in their garage, but also someone who's, you know, working with CBS like Danny Pena, mm-hmm. and some of the bigger fish that, you know, are high up in iTunes or high up in podcasting that are, you know, working with a major network. You're going to be, you know, rubbing elbows with all types of people, from the people who are super pro to the people who are, you know, just interested in maybe this is me. So I think that's cool. And then there's some other things that we do. Like we do a party that's a lot of fun. There's tons of meetups. So if your community is gamers, I'm sure Danny is going to be putting together a meetup for just the gamers where you can hang out in downtown Chicago with Gamertag Radio and other gamer podcasts. How cool would that be? There's a lot of wonderful things to expect. I think this year is going to be fun, if for no other reason, because it's downtown Chicago. The last 2 years were in Texas. Texas in the summertime could be, as you know, Danny, it's not the coldest place to be. Man,
it was 110 degrees when I got there.
We were inside, but yeah, you're right.
It was cool.
But this is going to be downtown Chicago. And for those who haven't been to downtown Chicago, it's just a tremendous city. It's a lot of fun, a lot of cool stuff to do. And so in addition to being able to hang out with podcasters and learn some great insights and stuff, you get to enjoy Chicago, which is an amazing city.
Awesome, man. And the awards, I had a great time at the awards. Hopefully you guys could do that again for 2016. I got to meet a lot of people, man, during the awards, man. I had a great time, man. So I know a lot of people were asking me about the whole awards. How that worked? How you guys decide the nominees? Because I know you guys worked with Stitcher. How that worked out? And also Hall of Fame, how that came about too.
So the Academy of Podcaster Awards was an attempt to create an award based off peers who are in the trenches, who are creating content via podcast, who understand just some basic criteria. We tried to make a certain set of rules that every niche of podcast, every award had to be bound by, right? So we couldn't just say, oh, I just like this show just because I love Danny. Mm-hmm. It's got to be better than that. There's got to be a certain quality to the audio. There's got to be a certain standard when it comes to the content and the delivery and just a number of things and factors that played into that. And then it was divvied up amongst a group of podcasters who have been podcasting for at least a certain amount of time. And we were very strategic. We didn't just allow a gamer podcaster to judge gamer podcast. That would have been too easy. And there's possibilities that people would play their favorites. We thought, hey, it might make more sense to have someone who's a gamer podcaster judge the music category or judge the, you know, the some other category that has nothing to do. This is kind of laughable, but religion, you know, a politics category, something that has nothing to do with gaming. So that way you could actually listen and say, okay, based on these criteria, these different, you know, things that I'm judging by. And they were 3-minute audio clips of the different nominees. And the way the nominees came about was a percentage, I would say at least half were top rated shows from Stitcher, right? Yeah, that's still one of the, you know, major places that major discovery places for podcasts outside of iTunes. And we got some other emerging players now. And then we also allowed people to vote, right? So podcasters could speak up and say, hey, these are some shows that I think are really good. They may not be at the top of, you know, top of the list, but they're really good shows.
Yeah.
So we allowed some nominations, and based on those nominations, a few podcasts could be nominated into each category. And then the podcasters that are in the Academy, they got to vote based on the final list. And that's how we came up with our winners. I feel like the people that won, you know, everybody that was in the final list, I think, deserved it per category. And the winners, I thought it was as fair as it could possibly be. I've seen other awards, not just in podcasting, but in other spaces where it's a popularity contest. And, you know, if I just get enough people to click on a link or mm-hmm. sign up with an email or tweet something, then they could potentially game the award. And we wanted to be real sensitive to that. We wanted people to win. And based off of other podcasters who understand what it's like to create content and go through that process and then make those, you know, make those judgments based on a certain list of criteria. So that's the Academy. Now, you mentioned the Hall of Fame, which you were inducted into the first class. Again, congratulations, Danny.
Thanks, man.
It was an honor to have you not just there to represent gamers, but also to represent the Hispanic community, which I thought was pretty cool because a lot of the almost all of the people inducted the first class were almost looked the same. There was a white male, and hopefully as our classes continue to grow, we're going to have more diversity. But it was really nice to have you represent.
That's cool.
In that way. But yeah, that's just a way to give back to people who've, you know, really been diligent over the long haul. In your case, 10 years of consistently putting out content, and your show continues to grow, and you continue to be generous to your community with Gamertag Radio. It's a no-brainer. We want to pay tribute to the people that do that. And so that's the attempt, and that's the hope of the Academy of Podcasters Hall of Fame, is each year we'll induct someone who's been in the game at least 10 years, and they've proven over time that they're consistent and they're community-focused and a number of other things that we think are really good qualities. And we want to honor those people, and you were part of the first class.
Yeah, I feel special. Yeah.
If you want to hear Danny almost cry, you know, that's go check out that video of him accepting that.
Definitely, man. So let's say a regular podcaster, they're interested on attending this, like how they could get tickets. Where does she go?
Podcastmovement.com. Go ahead and check that out. And we even added a payment plan because we've had a lot of conversations with people say, hey, you know, I'm just doing a podcast just more out of a hobby. This is something that I don't make any money from, or that, you know, I'm just doing it on the side. And so the ticket to travel to Chicago to potentially get a hotel and then pay for an event, sometimes that can add up. So for people that really want to be there, we said, hey, there's also a payment plan, so you can break down 50% up front and then 50% a couple months later, just to give people the flexibility to budget if that's you. Otherwise, the tickets, at least at this point in the game, they're just over $300. You know, 'cause some could argue that's too much money, but we try to put on a very high quality event, try to make it as great as possible and as affordable as possible. We want podcasters to be able to attend. And so go over to podcastmovement.com/register and you can check that out. Hopefully you'll consider joining us in Chicago.
Yeah, that's awesome. You guys made that because you guys didn't have that type of plan last year.
We didn't have it last year, but we talked to enough podcasters who you know, they're wanting to come, but, you know, budget's an issue for some people, and we totally get that. And if you can make it, we want you to be there. And there'll be some people that still can't make it, and fair enough. But for those that want to plan out the next several months and maybe, you know, set aside a little bit of money here and there, we decided that would be an option that might work for them.
Now, my last question is, why those days in the middle of the week and stuff? Because I know there's been conversation through the whole podcasting community, like, hey, why not the weekends? Why during the middle of the week? You want to talk about that?
Yeah, is the event continues to grow. And I mean, the first year was just over 600 podcasters. This last year was over 1,100, so it almost doubled. Mm-hmm. It's becoming harder and harder to find venues that have the space for a group of Podcast Movement size. That's one challenge. And then also, we're not you know, the big boys yet, so we're having to invest a tremendous amount of resources into setting this up and to making this happen. So we have to find a venue that can fit our group, mm-hmm. and it has to be on a date range that fits also into our other budget requirements and things. And also, there have been a number of people who are really professional podcasting and said, hey, I take this real seriously. A weekend, you know, I'd like to see it in the week. And then there's other people who are hobbyists who are just doing it for fun. They said, no, I would take a day off or two to go to Chicago and hang out. We're testing, you know. Sometimes we learn things, but you don't learn unless you try something. And so we're going to try it during the week this year in Chicago. We anticipate that it's going to be fine. The feedback so far has been reasonable. But in the past, we did have it on the weekends, and usually when we have these one-day events that are regionally located, those are usually on the weekends. But I think it's going to be fine. Hopefully, there's plenty of time. There's several months, so people can make their schedules accordingly if they want to be there. It's a good thing to be able to go to it, and you still have time to try to plan, you know, and make it.
All right. So I'll mention your Twitter account and also podcastmovement.com. Make sure to go over there too. But Jerry, your Twitter account, please.
Well, I'm at Jared Easley. But if you're interested primarily in just Podcast Movement, you can go to @podcastmovement on Twitter.
All right. Awesome. Well, thanks, Jared. And we'll be right back after this.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
Fan mail at gamertagradio.com.
What's up, Gamertag Radio? This is Mending Mercy calling in to defend Mr. Poston J. There was a listener that called in a couple episodes so about his long-windedness, so I just wanted to talk for a second. So Poston right now is like on a whole nother level. This dude is traveling, doing individual solo mission podcast, just freaking killing the game right now. This dude got the juice. He's like Steph Curry right now. Just lighting up everything. So I wanted to defend him, tell Poston he's doing a great job. You guys are a podcast of four. It's inevitable for somebody to just get the juice and just get it rolling. Right now, Poston has it. You know, in the next couple months, it could be Pete. You know, we all listen to the podcast because we love all of the insight that each one of you gives individually. There's certain things that Poston can touch on that Paris can touch on. And there's certain people that, you know, are honed in on, you know, on Poston. So I respect the fact that, you know, Poston's doing his thing right now and that you guys are a team of four. So, you know, to tell a guy to kind of not be so long-winded, it's just saying, hey, you're not really feeling what he's saying, but these guys they're getting like thousands and millions of downloads a month. So, you know, he's appealing to someone. So I just, you know, for me, just wanted to give a call in to let Poston know he's doing a great job and to let people just to be more open, because there's a lot more ears than your two receiving the podcast. So guys, know it's long, but great job.
Voicemail 786-2737-GTR.
Hey, what's up, Gamertag? Patrick here again for PlayStation Experience 2015 in San Francisco. Got something different this time around. We're checking out a game called Transgalactic Tournament, which if you don't know what that is, it might be the new MOBA. That might be your new favorite game. But we're talking about a PlayStation 4 exclusive MOBA, not PC this time around, developed for console, for the controller. Something a bit different. I got a chance to play a couple of matches real quick. I'm joined by two good friends here. Drew, what do you do on the project?
Actually, I kind of help manage the studio. So, yeah, just kind of just make sure things are running, operating correctly. So, Mr. Sheik here, he is the lead developer. So, he can tell him what you do.
Yeah, I came up with the original concept for the game and then did a lot of the development on the game.
So honestly, my first time getting hands on the game, I really only found out about it a couple of days ago watching someone play the beta. I'm like, Transgalactic Tournament, what is that? Find out it's MOBA. I'm like, oh, okay, I like MOBAs. Tell me more. So what I like about this game, I like that it's well-developed for controller. I like the setup. Kind of break down what sets us apart from other MOBAs on the market right now. What sets Transgalactic Tournament apart?
Well, it's not your traditional MOBA with lanes and minions and stuff like that. You have different game modes. There's Capture the Flag game mode called Plunderball. You also have Capture Points game mode, where you control different points around the map, and then also Team Deathmatch. And the matches are much shorter, no more than 10 minutes, unlike a traditional MOBA.
Yeah, and what I found is I think there's about 20 characters you'll have unlocked right now, and that's attack, defense, and support as well. But, you know, traditional mechanics are in there, the cooldowns, the abilities. But I like the map design. It seems closer. It seems more personal. It seems like you're not having to spend most of the map running from point A to point B because you died as a penalty of that. What kind of sparked the what did you want to do with level design? What makes a Transgalactic Tournament, you know, work so well with its character system, with its MOBA system, and, you know, with its, like you said, the different game types?
Well, we took a lot of inspiration from FPSs, kind of looked at different designs of Capture the Flag maps in traditional games like Unreal and Quake, and try to design the maps around that. And also, we want you to get into the action quickly. That's the most important thing. You know, hop in, kill some people, and keep playing.
So, as I said, you got to capture the flag called Plunderball in here. You have the Annihilation, which is the competitive mode, the Conquest to capture the points. Talk about a bit more about the characters now. I got to play a couple of them. I jumped around between, you know, I played like a, I think it was a defensive, like a turtle with a rocket launcher on its back. One of them was a ninja. They go invisible, which is really, really fun to use in CTF when people don't notice the floating ball running around. That's to your benefit. Talk a bit some of the design of what you wanted to do with these heroes of the different kinds.
Yeah, I mean, we wanted a lot of different variety. A lot of them are very goofy, cartoony characters. There's a giant cow and, space pirate, all kinds of different stuff. So we just wanted to get a lot of variety in there and lots of different abilities.
What kind of feedback have y'all been getting? Because y'all been in beta for a while now, and y'all said you've been on development for this about almost 2 years now on this project. What's your experience been like? You know, what was Transgalactic Tournament at the beginning versus what it is now?
I mean, from the beginning, it's stayed pretty much the same. We've just been adding content, adding game modes. People seem to like it. They seem to like the break from the path of the traditional mode, but it's kind of a new thing that's not really been done a lot. So people seem to really like that.
Yeah, I agree. And just because, again, it goes back to that controller ease of use. You don't feel like you are having to overburden people with learning hotkeys with, you know, their actions per minute, like in StarCraft. You're not having to gauge people on that. It's more of just pick someone you like. You're probably going to have a good time, and you're going to learn. Because that was my experience. Like, I play MOBAs a lot, but I was seeing new things in here that I haven't seen in other games before. And it's kind of like, yo, that makes sense. You know, if I'm doing 4v4 and I have voice chat, because most MOBAs, you're not talking with the people. You're typing with them. It seems like it's more, I like that. It's faster-paced games, more personal, more action-packed. Any idea, like, what do y'all want to still add more content to this game, or are you about almost content finished now and you're trying to, like, just finalize everything?
Well, we've got more champions coming out, and then also more game modes. So,
any idea of how many champions total? You got 20 right now.
I'm not really sure. We'll just keep going.
Making them as they come up, and you're, like, trying to balance the game out throughout. Have y'all gotten a lot of feedback about character balance and y'all made adjustments? Because I know, unlike traditional MOBAs, you actually can pick the same person 4 times in a row in this game. Have you had any issues with that?
No, it's balanced pretty well, but on the forums, people love to voice their opinions about who's OP and who's not. So yeah, we definitely get a lot of feedback about balance, and we take a lot of that into consideration as well.
You want to talk about any other game modes you have in mind for Transgalactic Tournament?
Yeah, our next game mode coming out will probably be, it's called Destroyer. Each team has a giant robot, and you have to run around, collect resources, feed the giant robot, and then the giant robots fight each other.
Is that player-controlled, or is that an AI giant robot?
No, they're AI.
Okay. I like that. Wow, so it's a lot of fun, Transgalactic Tournament. I think if you don't even like MOBAs traditionally, this is something to keep on the radar. It's coming for PlayStation 4, so, you know, and really there aren't that many games even bothering to put MOBAs on consoles. The fact that y'all are making one for the console is a very smart idea, circumpass all of that. Any clue of when, you know, this game will get out of beta, when you get our final hands on a copy of the game?
We're looking early next year. To come out of beta.
Very nice. All right, Transgalactic Tournament, thank you so much, guys. I appreciate it. Good luck with the game.
Thanks.
Yeah,
thanks
a lot.
Thanks,
y'all. This is Gamer Tag Radio. Voicemail 786-2737-GTR.
All right, so our holiday gift guide continues, and we have Rise of the Tomb Raider for the Xbox. Game of the Year contender. Better than the last Tomb Raider game. And the story is amazing. Amazing, amazing. And I feel like the world and the design is a lot bigger. There's more stuff to do. There's a lot of hidden stuff. I love it. I really love it. I think they did a great, great job with the game, man. And you should play it, Paris.
Oh, I will.
You should definitely play that game.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Now, next on our list is a game I have played, and I've played a lot.
A lot.
Is Destiny the Taken King. That is the expansion that came out earlier this year on the PlayStation 4 and the Xbox One. Oh, actually, the PlayStation 3 and the Xbox 360 as well. But it's a continuation of the Destiny franchise. They fixed a lot of issues from the first year of Destiny. You guys been listening to this show. You guys know how much Pete and I love the game.
I like it.
Yeah, even Danny likes it. That goes to show you how much Destiny has improved here in late 2015. So, again, if you've not played Destiny yet or you played it last year and you stopped playing it, I would highly recommend you go pick up the new expansion, The Taken King.
And if you do get it, contact Paris or
compete so you guys could play together.
Absolutely.
Right?
And like I was saying, platforms again, PlayStation 4, Xbox One, Xbox 360, and PlayStation 3.
Mm-hmm. One of my favorite games so far, and which I think people should try this game, Assassin's Creed Syndicate, that did a way better job compared to like Unity. It's a lot faster. The story's a lot better too. And there's a lot of new things. You're based in London, right?
Yes, it's in London.
It's in London.
Mid-1800s.
Yeah, and I like the story with the twins where they are like the main characters of the game. So highly recommend it. I like it, man. I like the fighting scene in this. So good and fast. Especially, which is your favorite character from the two?
The girl.
The girl?
Mm-hmm.
Why is that? Could I have
I like her. Because she has a toad.
Okay.
I mean, really? No, seriously. Yeah. Seriously, I like her fighting style, and yeah, it's great. Again, I mean, you guys have played Assassin's Creed games in the past. Syndicate kind of revitalizes the franchise, and it was a pleasant surprise here in 2015.
This is Gamer Tag Radio. Voicemail 786-2737-GTR.
Hey, what's up, Gamertag? Patrick here again at PlayStation Experience 2015. And now we're going to check out something a little bit different. It's called Lost Sea. It's a new title. First I've heard it, first I've played of it. I'm going to join my good buddy Aiden here. Aiden, what are you doing on the project?
I'm the designer.
So Lost Sea, you know, if for someone who knows nothing about it whatsoever, break it down. What is Lost Sea and what makes it special?
Okay, Lost Sea is, we call it an explorative action-adventure game. All of the islands are procedurally generated, so the player wakes up stranded in the Bermuda Triangle, and they've got to explore the islands and try and find the artifacts that they need to escape and ultimately progress through the Bermuda Triangle. And along the way, you can find different crew members, and they'll you can recruit them to your cause. They've got different abilities that buff the player, and there's permadeath on both the player and the crew. So if they die, they're gone forever. So you have to look after yourself and them.
Those are tough. Then usually those kind of games scare people off, but I like Lost Sea because it's very easy to pick up and play. It starts you off, you have your basic, you know, auto attack, your sprint, things like that. And I feel like the concept is brilliant in its simplicity just because it's survival. But, like, it's not too survival. Like, you know, I asked you earlier, is like, you know, you don't have to, like, for instance, have food or water, like, right, to supply stuff. You want to design it around fun, exploration, treasure.
Yes, that's right. Yeah, we wanted to basically make something where the player is very vulnerable, yeah. But we wanted to not have to do a lot of repetitive harvesting actions, yes, just to stay alive. And it's definitely something that we experimented with. I don't know if you saw the fruit tree in the game where you could, it's like a magical fruit tree and you can shake it and get some health back.
Yes. Yeah.
Originally, you would shake the tree and the tree would have like a set amount of fruit on it, like six amount of fruit, and you would eat the fruit and it would give you back health, and different trees would have different amount of fruit, yeah, and it would slowly regenerate over time. And after just playtesting it, we're just like, why don't we just make the tree give you health back directly, right? Why are we making the player jump through like three or four hoops, yes, to achieve the same thing? So yeah, just a lot of choices like that, really.
Yeah, what I like is it's there's really like, there's no, you don't need a carrot dangling in front of you. It's because the exploration is that. You want to go explore these islands. And like you say, when you find the health tree, you note in mental map in your mind, it's like, hey, if I get really hurt, my teammate gets really hurt, I mean, know where to backtrack and go do that. It's not frustrating. I don't have to like worry about, you know, I only have 10 health left, I'm going to die. But like you said, I like the fact that you are encouraged to go find the different crew members. They have the special skills. And like, you know, for instance, you know, there's a locked chest. I got to find someone to open the chest or build this bridge so I can cross this platform. You expand a bit more about what other kind of like, crew members you can hire, what kind of skills they have?
Yeah, sure. So we got ones that will augment the player's combat ability. Okay. So there's a trait called strength in numbers, where the more people you have in your crew, yeah, the more damage the player does, things like that. Toughness, so that the crew members can survive longer, because again, there's permadeath on them. So you might find a guy who's he can unlock chests, build bridges, dig up treasure, which is obviously very valuable, but he'll be very weak. But then you might have another guy who can buff your combat skills, and he's also got toughness so that he can live a lot longer as well. Just things like that, really.
What kind of upgrades are you going to have for the player, for yourself?
So we unlocked a lot of them for the show today. So like the pretty much all of them, like the dash, the roll, the sprint, they'll all be upgrades. But then there's a lot of things that help you navigate the island. So perks that let you see crew members on the map, tablets on the map, standard gamey things like increase the amount of health, increase the stamina, regenerate. We got quite a nice one called Breadcrumbs, where when you press in one of the thumbsticks, it draws a trail back to the boat. So it's like, it's not super valuable in helping you explore the island, but it just makes navigating it a lot easier. So when you've got a tablet, you just pop that off, follow like the golden breadcrumb trail back to your ship.
Yeah, I'm glad you brought up the tablet. I was going to ask that next. Is like, I managed to actually find one of the two tablets that I needed to complete my island. What do the tablets do?
So similar to the fruit tree, it's just something that evolved over time. So initially, we had the player collecting resources to fix their ship. And you would have to get like X of this and X of that. And then we realized that there is always going to be one resource that's like the limiting factor. And that resource, we always needed a very small amount of them. So it'd always be like 3 metal, right, for instance. And so that limiting factor is really boiled down to, on every island, you would always be having to find 3 of this thing. So we thought, instead of making them jump through the hoops of collecting all these other resources and then the 3 small amount of resources, special resources that they need, why don't we just say they only have to collect these this small amount of resources? So again, it was like just from iteration, like playtesting on it, and then we were thinking, okay, so what could these items be, right? So it was a bit sort of retroactive. Like originally they were more like realistic boat building things, like wood and nails and things like that. But when we decided what we wanted the mechanic to be, then we sort of worked it into the fiction. And because we're doing a game set in the Bermuda Triangle, it's actually worked out really well, because anytime we've had to come up with a direction for something, it's generally very forgiving, because like anything can happen in there, right? Yeah. So yeah,
and that works. You say procedurally generated islands, Bermuda Triangle, you can't prove these islands aren't shaped in these bizarre strange fashions. So that means they're pretty much now, is there like some kind of procedural level? Like, because I saw the guy next to me playing and he ended up getting to a boss battle somewhere at the end of that. How does that work?
What, for the build?
Yeah, for the build.
Yeah, it's all procedurally generated. Like, one of the things that we actually talked about in the studio was whether we should come up with one good island and save that seed so that everyone can play that, or just leave it be and let them come up with the procedural generation stuff. So we just decided to let it just keep it as is, and because that really shows off the different islands.
Yeah, I'm sure it makes your experience unique to your buddy next to you who might have played the game, but you almost really didn't play the same thing, because like the challenge might have gone up or down the scale depending on the difficulty of the island. I like the fact that it has kind of the day-night cycle. It gets rainy, it gets dark, visibility is limited, and there's a lot of things out there that will jump and attack you. So I like that.
Oh, thanks.
So when can we expect Lost Sea, and what platforms is it going to be available on?
It's going to be available on PS4, Xbox One, and Steam. And the game should be out around summer 2016.
Okay, it looks fantastic so far. I'm sure you got a lot more work to put into it. Aiden, thank you so much for your time.
Hey,
I appreciate it.
Thanks very much.
Voicemail 786-2737-GTR.
And that was episode 526. I would like to thank Jared Easley, co-founder of Podcast Movement, also CBS Radio, for getting us a nice little studio for us to record. And PlayStation, thanks for all the help. I know Patrick had a blast with it during PlayStation Experience 2015. So thanks for everybody for all the support. At the end of this month, during the week of Christmas and during the week of New Year's, we're going to be releasing, instead of 2 episodes during those weeks, we're gonna release 1 each because of the holidays and stuff. But in January, we're gonna be back, and we have a lot of things planned for the show. So just enjoy it. We have more content coming up for Thursday and the last 2 weeks of December. So can't wait for that, man. All right, so head over to GamertagRadio.com or play.it to listen to our past episodes. Also, share with your friends and subscribe through iTunes, Stitcher, TuneIn Radio, and other places. And if you have the beta of Spotify, you could also go there and subscribe. Also, give us a call, 786-273-7GTR. That's 786-273-7GTR. Or email us, fanmail@gamertagradio.com. Until next time, we're out. Peace.